Turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8, for a few moments tonight. And so it's, again, I don't just say this to say it, but it's truly an honor and a privilege and a blessing to be able to stand and share God's word with you. And so, thank you for listening. Oh, appreciate you. Appreciate you. Anybody?
It is an honor and privilege to be here. If we have to, if you look around the room, we don't take it lightly.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Sunday morning, Sunday night. Place to be.
Amen, brother. Amen. Glad you came on down. Now you got you. That's awesome. Well, you're going to be gone for 2 weeks, but you got you a seat in the choir, so. Oh, woo. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, we're going to need a little audition here. That's baritone, isn't it?
No.
Well, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and I want to look, we've looked at these verses before. It's been a while. It's been probably about a year, and I like to date my lessons, my sermons, and I very, 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 very rarely repeat one. I'll take a portion of it and do a spin-off of it in another direction. That's what's so amazing about, you know, your study time and your notes is that they can go in any direction, those who use notes. But I want to look at this specific church or churches of Macedonia here in chapter number 8. My Bible, there's a heading above chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians, and it says, Macedonians, an example of giving. And I've been looking into this church this week. Of course, been thinking about our church, been thinking about the local church, the body of Christ. Me and Brother Jack had some great conversation today, and me, him, and Brother Brian's going to have lunch tomorrow. To continue that, but the church is mentioned here in chapter number 8. Something amazing happened, and again, as I was thinking about chapter number 8 and reading through it and looking at these churches of Macedonia, they went through a time where they didn't have anything. In fact, the Bible uses the word, notice if you would, well, let's just read verse 1 and 2, uses the word poverty. In verse number 1 of chapter 8, he says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want to show you the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. It says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, they weren't on top. Everything wasn't fine. Everything wasn't dandy. But he says how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, that's a mouthful in verse number 2. But verse number 3 says, For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And I want to stop in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Of course, we know that those that read the Bible or have heard much teaching out of this particular chapter know that there was a collection being taken for the churches in Jerusalem and surrounding areas. And so Titus was involved in this collection, or actually making known of a collection being taken place. Titus had mentioned it. Of course, Paul here is mentioning the collection. And God really used this church. It was a church that when they put their hand in their pocket, they felt their leg, so to speak. But yet God used them tremendously. In fact, verse number 1 talks about how that, he says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." God bestowed something on these churches. God saw something. God used this church and churches in these surrounding areas. Why did he do that? Does God still do that? Do we have to have bukus of money? Do we have to have 101 ministries for God to bless? You know, do we have to reach everybody in Powder Springs, every door, every person? Those things have their places, but no, we don't have to do all that for God to bestow his grace and his glory upon our church. So what took place? What was it that happened? I want to mention just a few things tonight from verse number 1 through 5. And I kind of struggled with the title for tonight, but I guess if I had a title, it would be "When the Mess Became the Model." I used that title before. And when I say mess, I don't mean that they were in sin or in disarray or disorderly as a church, but, you know, they were in a poverty situation. But yet God used them as a model. You know, sometimes we think about these big churches, and listen, I am not losing sleep over big churches. I don't care about, if God's blessing them and they're preaching the Bible straight, then good for them. But we're not in no competition with no big churches. We're not trying to have 101 ministries just to have those things. All it takes is a church that wants to serve the Lord and see him move and work. And God has a way of bestowing something very special on those churches. And so let's look at it for a few minutes tonight. Three words I want to give you. And I feel like God's grace has been bestowed upon Calvary through the years, has the history of it, God blessing and God moving. But I kind of feel like God has been bestowing some grace here lately. And, of course, just the other service, Miss Mary Carey, Mary Kelly, walked the aisle and said she wants to join. That's the grace of God to move like that. You know, there's times where I talk to people before they make that decision. Well, she knew. I said, "Are you sure, Miss Mary?" And she knew. She knew. What is that? Well, I feel like that it's churches such as ours, churches who want to glorify God, lift him up, you know, and preach the gospel straight and true. God has a reservoir of something special that the world sees. And I think the more that people see it, the more that Powder Springs sees it and knows that there's something different about Calvary. They're not like the other churches. They're not concerned with tolerance of, you know, well, being politically correct, and I don't want to, you know, say something over here in this area, social issue, because I may offend someone. But no, Calvary's a church where we preach it true, we preach it straight, we teach it straight, we love people, and because of that, God is bestowing great grace. But three things I want to mention tonight about this model church. Number one, there was a presentation. There was a presentation. Now, I'm speaking about a church, a local church, but I'm actually, and probably more specifically, speaking about individuals of the church. There was a presentation, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. They gave themselves to the Lord first. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." And we know the number one reason why this church was used and God's great grace was bestowed and they were able to reach in their pocket, many times filling their leg and pulled out a sufficient amount of resources for surrounding churches. The reason why they were able to do that is because they first gave themselves to the Lord. And so it begins with presentation. And if we're going to continue to be that kind of church where God pours out His grace and abound and be more of a grow more and more in population and people and to have more grace from God bestowed, there has to be a presentation. You know that. We all know that. As individuals, we have to present ourselves unto the Lord. Romans 12:1 says it, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies unto the Lord, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service." And we know that something happens when we do that. Hold your place here for a second, 2 Corinthians. Turn to Romans 12. I do want to mention, very familiar, Romans 12 and verse number 1. And again, just keep in mind tonight that we're looking at this poverty-stricken community, this church, churches in Macedonia, how God used them, yet they were in poverty. And God used them because they presented themselves to the Lord. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And so in verse number 1, we see the presentation. And that's what God wants from us. You know that. I know that. He wants us to present ourselves to Him daily. Paul says, "I die daily." And, of course, there is some strings attached to the Old Testament when the priest would go in there and he would lay the sacrifice down. And one way, or the ultimate way for it to be accepted, was he had to take his hands off of it. And when he took his hands off of it, it became the Lord's sacrifice. And this church, or churches in Macedonia, they gave themselves to the Lord and they took their hands off of it. Let me say this, that's hard to do. I mean, we're talking about life and dealing with life. I just talked to you, mentioned about Lily in the praise report. Sometimes I wrestle with the Lord over her and her back. I just do. And like others with their problems in their life. And, you know, but God gets us to that place where we're tired of wrestling. We know we can't go on anymore. We know we can't be productive. We know we can't do and fulfill our responsibilities when we're double-minded. And so he says, you're going to have to present your bodies a living sacrifice. This church, surrounding churches, did that, and because of that, God bestowed great grace. Look at verse number 2, same chapter, Romans chapter 12. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So verse number 1 has to do with presentation. And verse number 2 has to do with transformation. And so he's saying, if you give yourself to the Lord, and we know, "Lord, I commit this day to you. Lord, I'm aiming for the bullseye of your holiness today. I want to be a witness." We are presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, whatever God wants us to do. Well, the Bible says in verse number 2, after that presentation, a transformation occurs. And that's simply when we take our hands off of something that doesn't belong to us. Those worries doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. Concerns doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. And what happens when we totally present ourselves and lay that sacrifice down and take our hands off of it? What happens? There's a transformation. Paul says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, he talks about the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That's transformation. And so he says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see the churches of Macedonia back in 2 Corinthians. You make your way back there now. 2 Corinthians 8. Because they presented themselves, they were able to tell what God's good and perfect will was. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you were down to your last $5 and someone needed it, but yet, you know, you had a child, a wife, or you're going to go and get a little bit of, you know, food, and then that was it, the end of your money. In the realm of the natural, and someone over here needed to eat as well. In the realm of the natural, human nature, would you give your last $5 to them? No. No, you wouldn't, because it's you and yours first. But you see, that transformation takes place when you present yourself to the Lord, as they did in verse number 5. In this they did. The Bible says, first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. And because of that, they gave what they had. Their joy was full by giving themselves to the Lord. And because of their joy and because they were lined up with God and abiding in Him and presenting themselves to Him, money wasn't an issue. They were a cheerful giver. And they gave. Look in verse number 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. They had abundant joy in spite of this great trial of affliction. And then it says, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were poor, but they had joy. And that is the perfect recipe for a miracle. Because God specializes in, you know, taking those two fish and five loaves. You know, God specializes with taking the little and making a lot out of it. God specializes with cast your nets on the right side of the boat, although you've been fishing all night and taking nothing. You know, this church didn't have anything. They were in a great trial of affliction, but they had joy because they presented themselves to the Lord, and everything else melted away. Fears melted away. They didn't care where their money was coming from. They had assurance that God was going to meet their need if they gave joyfully. And they were full of joy because that was what was overflowing in their hearts from presenting themselves to the Lord. Is that making the least bit of sense tonight? God time and time again has to remind me, it doesn't matter about intellect, it doesn't matter about ability, it doesn't matter about, your lineage. It doesn't matter, you know, if you were born in a rich family, a poor family. It doesn't matter. What matters is presenting yourself to the Lord and watching what He'll do. And so He says in verse number five, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And I know it's the Wednesday night crowd, but just think, and starting up here, I told Brother Jack, I said, sometimes, you know, preaching, I said, I never apologize. I said, I learned that lesson at my first church. I said, but, you know, sometimes it just, you don't go home happy when you have to preach hard. You just don't. I said, but one thing's for sure, when the finger goes out that way, I got four coming back this way. And that's just the long and short of it, that, you know, from the pulpit all the way down to the pews, it is continual presenting yourself before the Lord and realizing He is our source and He is our sufficiency and reaching that end of yourself and watching God do some things. Number one, there was presentation. Again, these churches had a lot of God's grace bestowed upon them. And it was very, very evident. And it all started with presentation. Listen to this. They would be unable to meet the needs demanded without giving themselves to the Lord. If they did give anything without giving themselves to the Lord, just listen to me, it wasn't noticed by God. there is such a way where you can give without doing it from the Lord. If that makes sense or not, there may be alternative motives. Well, I'm going to give this person this or give them that, you know, so that they'll like me, or, you know, this or that, or, you know, some alternative motive. I give them this and then they'll give me that. Well, it's just, if it doesn't flow from a heart that is filled with Jesus, Jesus being the motive, then he won't recognize it. Listen to this. Don't turn there, but just listen. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Samuel says it's all about presentation. It's all about, listen, we can give all, we can go to church 3 days a week, we can go in there and pray every Wednesday night, but if our heart is far from it, if my heart is far from it, that's not pleasing in his sight. In fact, in one of the Gospels, I think it's Matthew, talks about when you go to the altar and there's aught in your heart, leave your gift. Don't think your gift's going to be accepted by the Lord. Get that heart right first. And so just echoing that from the pulpit, that it starts with me about presentation. But not only presentation as what added up to this, these churches having the grace of God bestowed upon them and God using them greatly, but then there's transformation. I mentioned that in Romans 12:2. But in verse number 2, again, let's look at it. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. We mentioned that a moment ago, but it does play along in the lesson tonight that they were used like they were because they presented. They were used like they were because they were transformed by presenting. It takes God for you to give your last dollar away. It takes God for you to, you know, so to speak, give the shirt off your back to somebody. It takes God to really move in your mind and heart when, you know, somebody does you wrong, but yet you have joy in your heart. You feel God moving to go and do something right to them. It takes God. It's totally God to do that. And that's the substance of verse number 2. They didn't have it, but God supplied it. And I really think when it comes to Calvary Baptist Church, any local church, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, that this principle has to be noticed and has to be fleshed out. It's not about our talent, not about our gifts, not about what we got. It's all about our hearts toward the Lord. And so there's a transformation here. There's a presentation here. But then lastly, in verse number 1, we're working our way in reverse. there's a glorification. In verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That little word wit is almost obsolete. Old English word. It means to make known. It means to be seen or heard or talked about. And they're saying, moreover, brethren, we want you to know the grace of God that was bestowed upon us. Many churches, surrounding cities, have heard how that they gave what they gave and didn't have two pennies to rub together. He said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. We want you to know of the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And again, that word bestowed, it just literally means it was given. And I want to end the lesson tonight kind of early, but I want to end on this note on verse number 1. Because if we want to know, if we want to make known to the world, to the community, of God working here at the church and wanting to work outward, it can be made known. God can bestow. And sometimes I wonder, not just in church, not this church, but just local churches in general, I wonder what's causing the Lord to withhold bestowing his grace on any given local church. What is it? Because he says that this grace was bestowed and God did amazing things. They gave out of the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty. It abounded to the riches of their liberality. And so I just asked myself the question today, you know, what is stopping God's hand? Not that God's hand has stopped here, but many churches in the church world. Sometimes it can be a church member. Sometimes it can be the pastor. But the main point is tonight is that presentation, verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They presented themselves. Verse 2, they were transformed. Didn't have what they felt they needed, but yet God performed the miracle anyway and used them greatly. And then verse number 1, glorification. Because they gave themselves to the Lord and were transformed, God was glorified. I said all that to say this, that it's all at our disposal tonight. And you know that. You know that. It is all at our disposal. And God is working here, and we're so very thankful for that. We're just wanting that one soul to get saved, and then another soul to get saved. And so, anybody have anything they want to mention as we close? Right.
I may get to the point where I will say, I'll go get change and I'll come back.
Yeah. Bring you back a Coke.
You know, just like I couldn't give my child up to be sacrificed. I couldn't go all the way from that with knowing I might have to sacrifice my kids.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Study Proverbs. Proverbs tells us that God will furnish us to take care of our family first. And then we give what is the overabundance. Because he's going to give you more than you need.
Right.
He always has with me.
Right.
And he said, of that is what you give, because that's what it's for.
Right.
He's going to give us what we need. That first. You know, it would be like, it's in the study of don't be a borrower or lender.
Slave to the lender.
If you study in that in Proverbs, it tells us that you don't take away from your family to loan to somebody else. Because
right.
You got to feed them and take care of them. You were in the sense of the father of a family. His responsibility first is to take care of that family.
Absolutely.
God gave him that responsibility.
That's right.
God will also supply what he needs and overcome out also to help others. Because that's where God works.
Right. It's totally a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
You'll drive yourself crazy mentally trying to figure out how it's all going to work out. I think about Elijah in the Old Testament. How he went to the lady at Zarephath, you know, handful of meal, oil of cruise, and at the man of God's word, it was requested, it was commanded to give to him first,
yeah.
And then she, you know, she wouldn't waste away. They would have plenty, and not all at one time have plenty, but day by day have plenty, have what they need, and so it was the widow lady. Being obedient to the word, and it's a wrestle, but I tell you what, when you experience it, being obedient to the word and watching what God does, I mean, there is just, there's nothing like it. It's a Absolutely. And and again, it's important to know you're hearing from God before you give. That's why, you know, I believe It says they gave themselves first to the Lord, you know, because they were tuned in to know what to give and to along those lines. But it's an amazing thing. It really is. Quickly, I tell a story. I want to say it was George Mueller or somebody like that with the orphanage, maybe back in the 1800s or somewhere along those lines, early 1900s, where he had a group of kids. There was no food at all, and but he believed God so strongly that God put all that together and that God would meet their needs. And kid said, "What are we going to eat?" He said, "We're going to trust God." And about that time, I can't tell you specifically what happened, but about that time, there was a knock at that orphanage door, I believe it is, and it was either a milk truck or a bread truck had gone as far as they can go. Some of the weather, they had to give it away, but they gave it away at the right place. And so, I mean, it's just, see, I'm getting Holy Ghost bumps right now. Just, I mean, we worry ourselves to death. I do at times. I'm just like you are. Just to discover we have all we need in Jesus. He is all we need. And that was an amazing story. Many, many, many more stories along those lines. But the message tonight is just trust in the Lord and His sufficiency. Same message that's been preached for hundreds of years. Nothing new. Just a confirmation that we're heading in the right direction if we're doing that. Anybody else?
I was going to say, Don and Carla got 1,800
yes.
boxes of Bibles Sunday afternoon. It took them 2.5 hours passing them to store them. And they've already distributed some of them.
So really?
Awesome.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Go ahead, Ms. Linda.
Yeah.
And there was a gentleman that was a member. His name was George. I can't remember his last name. But he had borrowed $500 to put a roof on his house. I don't remember what was going on at church or taking an offering to do something. I don't remember what it was. But the Lord got to working with him. You know, I think they just kept passing the plate to raise whatever money.
Yeah.